And it's good to be together. We're excited as we're continuing in our series in Hebrews, as you saw. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. As you're going there, I'm going to be in the CSB version. And this week, as we continue in our series in Hebrews, we're going to come right after, right from where Parker took us last week. He took us in the life of Joseph. And this week, we're going to jump right into the very next story. Not only do we see in Hebrews, but we actually see in the Bible as well. As we come out of the book of Genesis, where we see the story of Joseph's clothes, we're going to come now, as we come to Hebrews 11, to Moses, and as his story begins in the book of Exodus. But before we go there, I want to start this morning quick with Hebrews 11, but just a moment, I'm going to have you turn to Exodus. So make sure you have a finger in both places, because you've got your Bibles in front of you. We're going to be bouncing kind of back and forth a little bit this morning, so keep your finger in both places so we can stay together with that. As we come to Hebrews chapter 11, right from where we left off last week, we come to verse 23, and it begins like this. It says, "By faith Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they didn't fear the king's edict. And this sets up right here in just this one verse right here, the circumstances that we're going to see around the birth of Moses. And so now, to better understand where Hebrews is going to take us, let's jump back to Exodus. So jump with me right in the back to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. As you're turning there, we're going to see, as we're getting to Exodus chapter 1, we've had many years have passed since Joseph and his family came. Joseph is now dead. Those families that had originally come were now dead. And now the Hebrew people, we're going to see as we come into the book of Exodus, we're going to see something has shifted dramatically from where we left off in Genesis. What's happened here is they've transitioned from being Hebrews of the Egyptian people to, we're going to come here and see that they now are becoming slaves of the Egyptian people. Look at Exodus chapter 1, start with verse 8 with me. "So the new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, 'Look, the Israelites, the people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further, and when war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave this country.' So the Egyptians assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor." So now this new king comes to power, and he's forgotten all the things that God did. He's forgotten the incredible faith legacy and how that impacted his kingdom for so long to bring even Egypt to where it was in that exact moment. And so not only has he forgotten that, now he's afraid of the people. What are they going to do? What kind of power are they going to have? So not only does he make them slaves, but he issues an order to them. An order to all the Egyptians to kill the sons that were born to the Hebrew people. Look how Exodus chapter 1 ends in verse 22. It says, "Pharaoh then commanded all his people, 'You must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live.'" And Pharaoh, he brings all the people of Egypt into his plan. And it's almost like this scare tactic that he's probably using with his own nation, with his own people. Hey, this can justify what we're going to do. Who knows what these Hebrew people might do? And he comes up with this plan. Let's kill these sons. Let's throw these babies into the Nile. And it's at the beginning of this incredibly, maybe unthinkable, dramatic event that we come to the story of the life of Moses in chapter 2. So chapter 2 begins like this. It says, "Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levi woman, and the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch, and she placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him." And now we come to what Hebrews 11, 23 is beginning to let us have a glimpse into the story that's taking place and beginning to unfold in the book of Exodus. As we come to this, I love this, because even though the story is about Moses, Hebrews starts here, and it starts with this by faith, and it begins to speak of actually the story and the faith of his parents. This is such a cool beginning here. The legacy of faith that begins with Moses actually begins with the faith of his parents and what they were willing to do in that moment, particularly his mother and what she was willing to do. And as we come to the story, I will tell you, as I read this, I have to almost force myself to disconnect from it, Because as a parent, this would be the absolute worst nightmare, is it not? You know, if you were just to Google pictures of Moses and the Nile River, you know, most of the pictures I see, they're like these classic Sunday school pictures, the mom gently putting the baby into the basket, and the basket just peacefully going down the river. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to you? This weekend, I asked my family, I'm like, hey, let's watch The Prince of Egypt. How many of you guys have seen The Prince of Egypt? Yes? Tell you what, it's not like historically accurate in every detail, okay? So like, don't go back and read the Bible first, okay? That's all I'm saying. But this scene, I think they get right. And it closes as they're coming to and putting the baby in the river. You can see the tears in the mom's eyes. You can almost see the act of desperation that as she comes to this moment. And this is a beautiful picture of faith. Because what faith really does, it requires us to let go of our control and release ourselves, and even in this case, those we love, over to God. It requires us, because every moment that we try to just maintain our own plan, maintain our own way of doing it, every time we try to just keep a little control in our own power, we're holding back a little bit from faith. And in this moment, and you see the basket go down the Nile River, and it was hilarious. We're watching this, and my son's watching it, and there's this part right here where the like alligators come up and try to snap at the basket, and Desmond's like, did that really happen? I'm like, well, it doesn't say it, but there's a lot of alligators in there. I mean, that's kind of what happened. There's a lot of alligators. Imagine the fear of the mom, even if she's having to let her son go. But yet, as they completely release what they love the most, this is when the greatest test of our faith occurs. When we're willing to release what we love the most, this is the greatest test of our faith that occurs. And so even as we come to the story, first maybe we can start with parents just a little bit, because I think there's a great picture here. Because I know if there's something that I hold on to the most and I try to control and I try to come up with all the plans I could think of to get it right for my son, that's me. Can you relate to that? Boy, I try to control who he has friends with. I try to control like what maybe even his teachers will do when they interact with him. There's everything I just try to maybe make sure I keep my hands on. And yet as I came to the story, I was really challenged with how much do I actually trust God with the life of my son? Not just present, but the future. How much am I willing to, in my heart, even as I raise him, let go to God? But even if you're not a parent, and even if you are a parent, let me ask you this question. What do you love the most? Like, what is that thing that you hold on to the most? What is that thing that if you had to be challenged with the idea of losing it, the challenge with the idea of having to give it up, what would that thing be? How tightly do you want to hold on to that? Because as we come to this first example of faith, we see this great act of faith is when we let it go and we entrust it to God. See, when she put Moses in the river, she had no clue what would happen. She had no clue what would happen to the baby, whether he would live, whether he would die. But see, as she let go and she trusted God, this is so important, because if you know the story, you know that Moses is going to get found. But yet to remember, she didn't know that when she let go. She didn't know that's what was going to happen. See, the great act of faith here is not knowing what God would do. The great act of faith was not knowing if God would reward her faith with the good results that she was hoping or praying for. The great act of faith was trusting that God is good and entrusting her son to God no matter what happens. That's the first great act of faith we see in the life of Moses through his parents. And yet God rescued Moses. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter, the daughter of the very king who commanded his death, and he was saved. And then we see that in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, that he comes into Pharaoh's home. Look at this. It says that when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. And this is the beginning of an incredible story, which we can't even like even just get a glimpse of the depth of the story of the life of Moses and what we're going to see happen in the book of Exodus and many more books in the Old Testament. But I want us to consider this for a moment. This story began with what I might consider as maybe the hardest act of faith we can consider. to take what we love the very most and release it to God. Hebrews chapter 11, it keeps going with the life of Moses. Verse 24 starts like this. It says, by faith, Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with God's, with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead for the reward. You know, I've read the story of Moses a lot in my life, but I will totally admit to you that if it wasn't for Hebrews, I don't think I would see this piece in the life of Moses. I don't think I would have really seen the depth of what was happening here. God gives us this incredible commentary on what was happening in the life of Moses that I think if you just read the story, if you just continue in chapter 2, as you see when he leaves Egypt, you might miss what God was doing in the life, in the heart of Moses right here in this moment. Verse 24 through 26, look what it says. It says, he refused. He refused the good things that were available to him. He refused the comforts of Egypt. He refused the pleasures of the world around him. Like Moses had it. I mean, you talk about a dream that many people strive for. I mean, he was there. He's in the palace. All the comforts he could imagine. He could have anything he wants. He could have it easy. His life could be anything he wanted it to be at that very moment. And yet we see, as Hebrews describes the faith of Moses, we see it begins with this incredible act of faith. And as he grew in his faith, he saw the very things around him that he could and that the world tells us we should love the most. He saw the things that we would long for more than anything else, and he looked around them and he said, no, I can't have these things. He started to think differently than the world around him. And he was not willing to let these things in his life be the thing that robs him of the faith in the God he knew he needed to believe in and live for. And so when you come to this text and we say, why would Moses refuse that? I mean, he didn't like have to. Maybe God could have used him there in the palace. I mean, come on, Moses, you missed an incredible opportunity right there. Don't you know all the things God could have done? But see, Moses understood a few key things. Look at what he understood. He understood that the comfort of this world, the comforts of this world that make us love the world more than God. See, the comforts of this world, how easy it is, the pleasures of it. It's good to see you again. The pleasures of it right there. All those things, they make us love the world more than God. And so what happens is they begin to hold on to our heart. And God gets less and less. So first thing Moses, he's like, I don't want God to have less and less. So he's like, I gotta forsake all this. I gotta give this up because I don't want to compromise and lose a heart for God. He also understands that really practically, and this is something maybe we can easily miss, to really live fully in this world, it absolutely will require compromise. It just will. Because this world is not driven by the standards that God calls us to live by. This world's values are not the values that God calls us to have. In order to really fully engulf in this world, it will require a compromise. And Moses looked up and he saw that. And he was unwilling to live in the house. He was unwilling to have a lifestyle. He was unwilling to keep these standards that he knew would turn his heart away from God. And he didn't fall into that trap. Well, you know, this is nice. So I'll just let God use me here. And instead he said, God, I don't want anything to take away from the faith that you've called me to have. And he was willing to give it all up. He wasn't willing to compromise. And I gotta say, I think this is the most incredible example from the life of Moses that I feel just keeps coming at my heart. Think about this. How many times do we do this to ourselves? I could just go to that one party. If I just go to that party, then they'll know I'm not that uptight Christian. Yeah, there's some bad stuff happening. Yeah, it could be tempting for me, but I'm just going to go to that one party because if I go there and I do that thing, then people will know I'm not one of those uptight Christians and then they'll listen to me. But if I refuse to watch those things that all my friends are watching or engage in that way that all those other people are engaging in the world around me, well, then I'm going to just be like this outsider and it's going to be weird. So I got to be able to watch some of that stuff. I got to be able to do some of those things. I mean, if I don't do this one thing at work, even though it's kind of sketchy, even though it's kind of unethical, man, the bosses, they're not going to promote me. They're not going to think I'm a team player. I mean, If I don't have the money, how am I supposed to really take care of my kids and do what God called me to do, right? How am I supposed to really love and care for my family? So I got to make work the focus. I've got to get the job done. And heck, if I got all this money, why not spend it on things? I can buy this really, 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 really big house, but then, you know, I can invite people over once a month. That's cool, God, right? And all these things he was tempted with. And we get tempted with the exact same things. But in the life of Moses, his faith was driving him so much that he refused to let those things compromise him. As I am sure those things were going through his head, they were going through mine. He's willing to give them up. He was willing to give them up to God so that who he was, who his family is, who his kids would be, what they would know about him, is they would know that Moses was choosing to live set apart. He was willing to say, whatever it takes to live for God over these comforts, I want God to have my heart. He saw holiness and faith in God greater than anything he could get, even the suffering that would come because of that. And then Hebrews tells us, you know what drove him, what drove his entire motivation? Jesus. And look what it says. It speaks of Christ right here. By faith, Moses, and he chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, for he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater than the wealth and all the treasures in Egypt. It was greater to suffer for Christ. It was greater to give up whatever I needed to give up so that I would be fully walking with Christ. Loss of things, even suffer disgrace. NIV uses the word disgrace there, which I think is really good. I bet our desires, because I know myself, to not suffer disgrace drives a lot of what we do as well. But whatever it took, he's like, I got to flee from this. So as we come to this, I'm just going to challenge you with the same thing God's been challenging me. Is this the kind of faith that we have? Is this the kind of faith you have? Is it the kind of faith I have? Does this lead my life? When I see situations in front of me, when I see all the things that could happen or could be taken away, does my faith drive me like this? In Hebrews 11, verse 27, it summarizes this. It says, by faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses preserved as one who, and like here, sees him who is invisible. You know, this is a theme that keeps coming up for us as we're going through this faith series. And when we talk about faith as a reality, even what is not fully seen. See, by faith, he was willing to look to what he could not see in the physical world and the physical pleasures and the physical things that just made so much sense because they can make so much sense to us. Instead, he looked to what was invisible. He looked to who God was. He looked to the real reality of the life that he was created for, and he said, that's what I want. His eyes were more on what is unseen and the reality of who God was over the things that he could see right in front of his faith. And this is the type of faith, guys, that would begin to define the life of Moses and lead to the legacy of faith that we're going to read about in Hebrews, that we can go back and read about in the book of Exodus, that is an amazing testimony to the work of God and to obedience. And this kind of faith, as it begins to define his life, we realize that Moses, he's the hero that we might think of him because of this moment in his life. See, when he left Egypt, that began that journey where he was willing to do whatever God asked him to do, whatever the risk, whatever it took, he would not compromise, he would obey. So what happens? He leaves Egypt. And this part isn't mentioned in Hebrews, but I want to just cover this really quick right here. In Exodus chapter 3 and 4, we see Moses leaves Egypt. He gives up all these pleasures. He becomes a shepherd. He leaves a place of luxury, and he becomes a shepherd among smelly sheep. He went from having people serve him to his daily goal was serving sheep. And what drove him to do that? His faith. To choose God over self. But the cool part, that's where God met him. God comes and he meets Moses in that moment. And this point in his life, many of us know the story, the story of the burning bush. I'm not going to cover both chapters, but this is where we see, just kind of as a summary, God comes to Moses in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, all right, Moses, because the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, therefore go, and I am sending you to Pharaoh, so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And what's really interesting in this moment, so far we've had this great celebration of Moses' faith, right? I mean, this just seems to be the guy. God says, go. But in the next couple of chapters, 3 and 4, we are going to see this guy have this huge debate with God. And he keeps trying to throw obstacles in the way of God. God, this wouldn't actually work. Let me tell you why. Whoa, God, I don't think you actually realize who you're talking to. This is why. And then at the very end, he's like, after all his excuses fail, he's like, God, I just really don't want to do this. Send someone else. But God responds to him in chapter 4, verse 11. It says, Moses, who placed the mouth on the humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. And as God calls Moses, there's this beautiful picture here we cannot miss. Who does God appeal to send Moses out? He doesn't appeal to Moses. He doesn't say, but Moses, you've got this. Hey, Moses, you've got that. Hey, Moses, remember you had this experience. No, who God appeals to? Himself. He's actually saying to Moses, you're right, Moses. You have no reason to have any faith in yourself. Absolutely, you have no reason to have faith in yourself. I'm not sending you because of who you are. I'm sending you because of who I am. I'm sending you because of who I am. He says, I will speak and I will teach you what to say. I will do this. And then Moses, he comes out on the other side and he obeys. But as we see in this moment, I think Moses doesn't obey at all because we see this. He doesn't have any confidence in himself. Moses takes the step of obedience because his faith is in the confidence of who God is. And in that moment, he again gives it all up. The life he had, where he was, comfortable, what he'd known, and he's willing to go back to the place where people had wanted to kill him. Again, is this our faith? You know, if there's any part of Moses I can relate to is right here, arguing with God. You ever been there? Where you just begin to argue with God? God, let me tell you something you don't know. But yeah, we do it. And what's beautiful about God's grace for us is that this argument that he has with God, even our own debates, they don't stop God. So God's going to do what God's going to do. And we're going to see that come back later on. But we have this choice. Are we going to obey and are we going to go and be a part of that and receive the blessings that go with that? Are we going to act in faith like Moses did? Or is our own fear and our own hesitation going to entrap us so much that we miss out on the amazing things that God wants to begin to do and show us even our own lives for his glory? Because Hebrews reminds us just after this, the amazing things that God does. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 28. It says, by faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. Last night, my son and I, we watched a lot of YouTube videos about this. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. And Hebrews just gives us two stories. It could have gone through the list. I mean, he could have just kept going, all the things that God did because of Moses willing to obey and have faith in who he was. And if you want to read more about these stories just right here, go to Exodus chapter 11 through chapter 14. You can read up on those. But if you're unfamiliar with them, you're definitely going to want to check them out. Because they both have this unique, amazing revelation of God's power and what he does. And it's stories that begin to echo all the way into the New Testament we can't get into this morning. But you got to check those stories out. But yet in Hebrews, I think God also wants us to see Moses' part in this. See, God's the one that accomplished the victory with the Passover. God's the one that parted the Red Sea. You know, Moses couldn't do that, right? Like, God was the one that actually did it. But he's coming back and he's reminding us that Moses had a part by his faith. And it goes all the way back even to the faith of his parents. But see, God was working, and God was moving, and God was doing powerful things in his life because of faith. Not because he had it all together. Not because he was really good at what he was doing. Not because he was even perfect, but because of who God was in him. And again, I'm going to tell you, as I read this, I hope you might say what I want to say right here is, God, I want you to use me like this. This is the man I want to be. Do you want to be like this? Do you want what God is doing in the life of Moses? Do you want to see God's power? And you might say, I am no Moses. Well, I am right there with you. Absolutely, I'm no Moses. But I have a family that I want God to, I want them to see God's power in my life. I have friends who I want them to know the power of God and be able to see that it really has nothing to do with me, but about who my God is. I want my son to see in my life God's power, so when I'm long gone, he still knows who to look to. So yeah, I'm not Moses, but I want to have faith like this because I want to be known as a man of faith, not for faith itself, because I want to see God's power work so God gets the glory, so people see how amazing my God is. And then it becomes a legacy. As Moses' parents passed it on to him, we can do the same in our own families, our own lives, with our own friendships, and those we interact with every single day. But we got to be willing to say yes. No matter the cost, say yes. And when you have your debate with God, have your debate with God. God's mercy is amazing in our debates with God. But when you get to the end of it, remember, because I fully believe God will say the same thing to you and to me that he says to Moses, it's really not about you anyways, it's about me. Do you have faith in me? Do you believe I'm going to do this, God would say. And when he comes to us in that moment, it really is this a faith that we're willing to have to live for Christ? Because I don't want to sugarcoat it. It will cost. We'll have to give things up. I am absolutely convinced going through the mountains of Midian with all those sheep, that was not easy. It was not fun. I was at the West Salem County Fair, and I just saw all the sheep came by. I like ran past the tent as fast as I could. But I thought about this story, and I thought about what it must have been like for Moses, as he maybe would have been sitting there in those long days in the sun, just sitting there thinking, did I make the right decision? But coming back to his faith from who God really is, to let God show us, we got to be willing to not hold back. And so we want to say yes to God. And that's normally where you might want to end the message right there, right? You want to end with this call, say yes. And that is where we want to be able to end it. But we also need to come to this warning that we see in the life of Moses that we want to also come to as we close this morning that I think is important for us to hear. Because there's moments when Moses didn't say yes, and it cost him. Moses' life was defined by faith. He led God's people out of slavery. He instituted the Passover. He crossed the Red Sea. He came into, God gave him the law. God showed him his presence. God showed him his power. I mean, I would beg God to want to see all the things that Moses got to see and be a part of. And yet we come to this rough point in Moses' life. Actually, in a couple books ahead in Numbers chapter 20. What happened to people? They're traveling through the desert. And it's rough. It's rough right now. They don't have water. They're like, God, give us some water. We need water. They go to Moses. They start complaining. They need water. And Moses then comes and he seeks God. And God gives him directions for how God's going to do yet another miracle. God's going to give his power such an amazing way. Verse 7 and 8, Numbers chapter 20. Going to have it up on the screen right here. Here's what it says. The Lord spoke to Moses. Take the staff and assemble the community. You and your brother Aaron are to speak to the rock while they watch, and it will yield its water. So Moses comes, he's like, God, they're complaining. There's this need, we need water. And God answers Moses and tells him what to do. But watch what happens next. Numbers 20, verse 11. Then Moses raised his hand, and he struck the rock twice with his staff. So the abundant water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. I want us to look and see what Moses did right here. If you're familiar with the story, you already know where I'm going. God told Moses to speak to the rock. Did Moses speak to the rock? I don't know what was going on in Moses' mind right there. I can't imagine that. Except I know he's a flawed person as well. I know that he's a broken man as well. And for some reason, this moment, maybe his own frustrations, maybe he was just angry. He was frustrated with the people. Maybe he was even frustrated with God a little bit because of all the people he was dealing with and all the complaints he was dealing with in the moment. Things were not going good. He didn't like what was happening maybe. So he comes and for some reason, he struck the rock twice instead of speaking to it. All the miracles he saw, and that's his response. But you know what's really cool in this moment? And this is what we got to remember about faith. Did the water still come out? See, the water came out because it's the whole theme of faith, because of who God is. Not because of who I am. Not because of who Moses is. Moses did not do what God asked him to do, and the water still flowed. And God shows us in that moment that his power and what he's going to do and what he's going to accomplish is not dependent on you and me. God is so much bigger than you and me. God's going to do what God is going to do. But he invites us to be a part of this. And in this moment, Moses took a different route. And actually, I think he actually missed that it's all about God. He missed what maybe his faith had taught him for so long. In this moment, he missed seeing who God was, forgetting who God is, forgetting that it is about who God is and not about me, forgetting it's about what God wants to do and not about my ego or my frustrations or my annoyances right there in that moment. That can cause us to have actually a crisis of faith. We begin to trust ourselves. We begin to trust our own ability to control. We begin to trust our own ability to make things happen. And that's what was happening here in the life of Moses. And look what happens in verse 12. God responds to Moses. Because you did not trust me to demonstrate my holiness in the sight of Israel. Notice what he says. Because you did not trust me. Because you did not believe in me. You didn't trust me, have faith for me to do this. To demonstrate my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring the assembly into the land that I've given them. It was just one little thing, guys. This one moment, but this moment of faith crisis. And I think we got to remember this because we can look at the faith of the flawed and we can be so encouraged. And I have been, I hope you have been too, in realizing that they're broken people. They sin and they fall. And yet God is so powerful. He is still at work. He is still going to move through them. And we should find great encouragement in that. But never let that miss the eye that our eyes still need to be on obedience. Never let us miss that God has still called us to surrender and live, and that there are times when our sin, when we say, no, it's about me. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm going to do what I want to do. Even though God's going to do what he's going to do, there are consequences for that sin. In Hebrews chapter 12, in the next chapter over, we come where God gives us a glimpse into this, into his heart as well. In verse 5 and 6, it says this. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. This can be a hard verse to read. But I can tell you, I have sat in times, many times, under the discipline of God. Where I've taken my eyes off of him and I've had to sit and I've missed out on things I know God had in my life for me that I was going to be able to be a part of with him. But see, our faith also needs to come back to this moment. And see, this is what happened with Moses too. Even though God disciplined him, Moses' faith still returned and his eyes returned to God. And we need to see this warning in the life of Moses for us as well. It can be a painful lesson when God corrects our sin. It can be a hard moment when God is in the middle of disciplining us. But that can be a moment where our faith can actually grow. It can be a moment where our faith can just fix our eyes on him and say, God, I forgot that it was all about you, but I want to keep it all about you. I want to come back and make it all about you. And I just want to come and say, here I am, God. We confess our sin. We admit it, our brokenness. And God, who is faithful and just, he forgives us of our sins. And he brings us back as we walk with him. So as you think about the faith of the flawed, as we're almost over halfway now through our series, a couple more weeks left, we found so much encouragement. But I want us to also hear a warning that comes in understanding this text right here. Because God is also holy. So I want to ask you three questions this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? As we come to the story of Moses, there's so much here. As I've been going through this story, God was challenging me on many different things in my life, what he wanted me to hear, what he wanted me to know and understand. But it really comes back to what Parker said last week, what we said the week before that, and what we said this week as well. Where are we looking? But I want to ask you where we started with the life of Moses' parents. What do you love the most? I have a feeling when I asked that question that there was something that jumped in your heart, that there was something that came to your mind. And you're like, that's that thing. And God's like, okay. Are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to say, I love God and I want holiness, I want to obey more than I want that thing? And get real with God about that. Are you willing to say, Lord, if you take it away, that's good because I'm going to obey. And if it starts to get pulled away, I'm not going to chase after that. I'm going to chase after you. Maybe as Moses, we talked about Moses' life and that he was willing to, without compromise, give up anything that got in the way of God. Maybe even those things that are there that you've compromised on, they're in your mind a little bit. Even God saying, hey, there was this thing, or you're holding on to this, or you've accepted somehow this is good enough for me. And instead to follow the life of Moses. Be willing to say, no matter what the cost, God, I want to be a man or a woman that truly walks by faith. Or my trust in who you are. No matter what, I'm willing to say yes to what you asked me to do. I'm willing to go where you asked me to go. I'm willing to do even as I walk out the thing that I've been struggling to do. Because now I want to live by faith. Or maybe God's showing you an area of your life where you're choosing to disobey, speaking to the rock instead of striking the rock. It may seem like just this little thing, but God wants to get our attention. He wants to let the story of Moses be a warning to us. So wherever you're at this morning, I just want us to pause a moment to come before God. Holy Spirit, we've seen it already this morning. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about who you are. And Lord, I know there's stuff you're showing each and every one of us this morning. So Spirit of God, I pray that you would be faithful now to not only convict, but to lead us exactly where you want us to go, how you want us to go. And Lord, if there's that thing in our lives right there, that sin we're playing with, Lord, let us hear the warning of Moses from his own life, where it's time to turn away and to say, Lord, I am ready to obey whatever the cost. The Spirit of God, I pray that you would speak to us even as we continue to worship, as we continue to respond, even as we go out today. God, don't let us leave. Don't let us just go and let us just move on with our day. But Spirit of God, do your work that you are faithful to do, that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Church, I'm going to be back in the prayer corner with my wife, Amy. We'd love to pray with you. If God's working on some of your heart, come back, pray with us, or we'd love to pray with you. Find someone next to you. But whatever God is doing, continue to let God work as we respond and worship this morning.